Our help and only expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing Psalter 425, the stanza 3 and 5. Seek ye Jehovah and his power, and 5. Jehovah's truth will stand forever, and what's following. Scriptures can be found in the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, verse 57 through 80. 57 through 80, before we listen to the holy law of the Lord.
And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. Till so far.
Let's see the face of the Lord in prayer. Lord, with the congregation, we draw nigh unto thy footstool to beg mercy, to ask a blessing upon thy word, to ask that thy spirit might move our hearts to believe, to know who we are, but above all to know who thou art in Christ Jesus, the Savior of thy people, the glory of thy own name, the salvation of those who are lost. It's a day of remembrance for the family DeWitt. When this day we remember that 12 years ago a daughter was taken. Oh, we have a sure hope for the better. Remember the family and all the questions and needs. Remember on this day not to mourn without hope, but hope in thee. Thou knowest all things, Lord, that we bring them before thee without saying what we think. Remember us in mercy, and we are thankful that in the congregation young child has been born, the family omen, Micah. And we ask that thou would bless that little boy, that he might be a child of thee. That's everlastingly true. Thy children are heirs of thy kingdom and co-heirs of thy dear Son. And thou hast said that the election is for that purpose, to extend thy holy family. The firstborn, the Lord Jesus, and all his brethren and sisters as the family of God. And we pray, Lord, that we might see the extension of thy kingdom among us, in old and in young. Remember the sick and afflicted, the old in age who couldn't come anymore, the sick and the weak, those who suffer spiritually or physically. We bring all the needs before thee, known and unknown. For the unknown needs, unknown by man, are most serious sometimes, inward needs. Lord, we pray for those who can't come anymore, of kind of a reason. Bless them where they are and make them a blessing. We pray for that old covenant people, the Jews, who rejected the King of Israel, the King, the suffering servant, who will return once with thousands of angels in glory, and show thy majesty, O Lord. What a day will that be, when the heavens will be opened and the beauty of Christ will be seen in the whole world, on earth and down in heaven. when heaven and earth will be united again, and the temple of God will be among us. That's Him, Thy precious Son, the temple of His Father. Lord, be with us this day when we come together with the young people at school or those who prepare for Sunday school and hope at the end of the week to have a meeting with the congregation, to remember Thy birth, to say some text further or sing, our little ones, Lord, teach them, please. Not only the words, but Thyself. O Lord, remember the mourning, the widows, the widowers, the orphans and half-orphans. Lord, remember them in mercy and dwell among us, please, in Thy dear Son, who is tabernacled and is the tabernacle, the surety of Thy people. Lord, we confess that we can stand before Thee if we look this week to ourselves and how we have behaved and how we thought and what we said. But we don't plead upon our righteousness, which we don't have. We plead upon Thy righteousness, which is eternal and divine, not changeable, but a surety for those who are lost. Open the scriptures, please, Lord. Remember us in mercy. We have to think about our servant stewardship board. We thank Thee for the work they do, for the privilege they have, and how the congregation is supporting the work also that they are doing. Remember Mr. Van der Kroll, and we're thankful that he wants to continue, and if it's Thy ways, we'll find out. Have mercy upon him. Lord, we beg for mercy. Open the scriptures, please. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, first was preached to Zacharias by the angel, and he didn't believe. But what God preaches is true anyways. And what he foretold, he does. And when he wrote down the name, he said, his name is John. Do you know what it means? His name, when God gives a name, it means what he says. And when he wrote down, John is his name. Do you know what it says? God is gracious. That's his name. God is gracious. That's what God said in his ministry. And therefore not Zacharias. Zacharias means God remembers his oath, his covenant. And that's true too. But when we read God is gracious, he has remembered his covenant. And he will remember it to the last of the days. We see here, congregation, in this portion, and last week you remember we said that the main purpose of Christ is to be the King of the kingdom. And I said last week, and you all know it, even at the cross, there was a little board. Jesus, the king of the Jews. No, said the Jews. Tell and say that he said he was so. No, says Pilate. He is the king of the Jews. And he is. Where is he, king? The cross. As a suffering servant, he is king. The king suffers as a servant. And therefore, when the Lord opened the mouth of Zacharias by the Holy Ghost, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost overflew his lips. He was pressed to say. He was just an instrument of the Holy Ghost to prophesy. No more, no less. He was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord of Israel, for he has visited. No. Christ had to be born. But the prophet, always trusting the word of God, says he has visited. And therefore Isaiah said it already in the Old Testament. A child is born unto us. Why? God's words are faithful to the uttermost from eternity. And again, you see it here. God has visited. Has visited and redeemed his people. Has redeemed. But he had to suffer still. But what God says is an eternal word. Has redeemed his people. For what he says, he does. And then he answers and continues and said, and he has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. That's, last year I preached about the horn of salvation, and I could do it again, but I don't. But I want to underline the second part of this text. In the house of David. What's the house of David? That's the king of Israel. Do you know what it means? A horn of salvation. A horn of saving grace. A power. Horn. Last year I said four horns on the altar. Eh? We could flee to. And holding a safe. But now we listen to the second part. In the house of David. Do you know what it means? The king should be the suffering servant, the Lamb of God. The king was a servant, made a servant, to save his people. The glorious king of heaven became the least of all creatures, the lowest in esteem. We didn't esteem him. To save his people under the yoke of Satan and darkness. To bring them to marvelous light. The king became a servant. And people say, we're waiting for the coming of the king. The king has come. We are not waiting for the king anymore. But the kingdom of Christ is not of this world. And therefore the church of God is suffering with the king until glory comes. The church is a suffering servant. The sheep for the slaughter, says Paul. Waiting for that glorious coming and returning of the King of Kings with the millions of angels. We're waiting with expectation for that glorious day. We will see his majesty, everlasting majesty. But if we suffer with him, that's grace, we will reign with him. And if you don't suffer with him, you're not reigning with him. Not going to have a partaker, being partaker of His glory. As a congregation, we go through these texts, and that's first thing, 4:4-8. Blessed be the God of Israel, yea, thou shalt make salvation known, and what's followed. last week we said out of the scriptures that his main office is his kingship. He's the king of the kingdom of God. But we can only know him to be the king by the prophet preaching him. For his kingdom is not of this world, it's a spiritual kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom, not of this world. And therefore, when Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, he said in 76, "And thou, child, shall be called a prophet," not a priest anymore. The tribe of Levi had a priesthood, but that's finished. Not a lamb, an animal, but now the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the suffering servant. "But thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way." So it's a spiritual kingdom. A king had always people to prepare the ways. You have to think that the ways of Israel in those days were rocky. Sometimes rocks fell from the mountains and stressed and closed the roads. And if a king was visiting a part of his kingdom, he sent out people to clear the roads, that he might go by a smooth way. So he sent workers out to clear the roads, that the king shouldn't be stopped by rocks, hills, mountains, but that the way of the Lord might be straight. Good. So again, if God sends a prophet to prepare the way, it means that the king is a spiritual king, the king of the kingdom of heaven, not of this world. And that he uses a steward, a prophet, to prepare his ways. To prepare the ways that he might meet his people prepared. How? By the preaching of the word. God's people is prepared by the preaching of God, God's word, to meet the king. The king will meet his people by the preaching of his word. So when Zechariah said, "Thou wilt be the prophet of the Most High to prepare his ways," it means prepare, listen, 77. To give knowledge of salvation. First, the knowledge of salvation that looks to the Savior. The salvation itself. The Savior. First, the knowledge. Prepare. And what's the knowledge of salvation? Forgiveness of sins. The knowledge of salvation is the forgiveness of sins. By the remission of sins, no? By the remission of their sins. So salvation is remission of your sins. Where is that to be found? In the Lamb of God. that takes away for John the sins of the world. So the preparation to know Christ is to know the forgiveness of sins, of your sins. Through the tender mercies of our God, when the day spring from on high has visited us, when the light of God shines upon you, which is Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Well, congregation, John shouldn't be the priest anymore. And I've said that they thought that Zacharias was a high priest. There is a tradition. But he wasn't allowed by Herod to be it anymore. But we have now the prophetic office of the priest. I had an old minister, he said, do you know, preaching is the tradition of the priesthood. To preach the blood of Christ to be sprinkled on the conscience of sinners. Preaching him, drawn, says Peter, to the cross. The only knowledge of salvation in Christ Jesus. Give light to them that sit in darkness. So, again, how are we prepared to meet, to receive Christ? By the preaching of the forgiveness of sins. Pastor, I hear your objection already, but not everyone experiences it. Sure, not everyone experiences it, that's right. Not everyone knows him to be their Savior King. That's true. But this is clear. By the preaching of the Word. And therefore, congregation, we go back to the beginning of this portion of the Scriptures. Blessed be the God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. What's redemption? Redemption is a payment to set you free from slavery. We're all slaves by nature of sin and Satan. Doing the will of the prince of darkness. But redemption in the Word of God is not salvation itself. It's the payment by which you are paid free. To set you free. Or I can change it. To make you from a child of darkness, transferring to the kingdom of light, the Lord Jesus. And you need a payment. You're under the obligation of a payment. And do you know what happens? The King of Glory becomes a suffering servant to pay the penalty for all that belong to him. He humbles himself to the cross. The cross, the curse, and the death. To pay the penalty, to set you, sinner, free. And therefore the true grace is bringing you to liberty. The liberty of the children of God. released. Therefore, the first question and answer of the Heidelberg Catechism says that the devil has no power over you anymore if you're redeemed. He afflicts you, he tries you, but he has lost his power over you. Do you know what's the power of the devil over you? The law. First he says, sin, and when you have sinned, he says, you're lost. First he said in paradise, don't be obedient. And when you fell in sin, he laughs and he thinks, I got him. But now Christ is more victorious. To kill glory becomes a suffering servant. To pay the penalty. To give the righteousness to the people of God. To set them free. And it has to be preached. It's only by preaching to prepare your soul for Christ. And he even wrote, no hills, no mountains. That's the preaching even today. To prepare your soul for Jesus, the sacrifice of God. For the King who suffered, but raised from dead and entered into his glory to preach Christ and him crucified. And dear congregation, for God has raised up a horn. We have dealt with it last year, four horns on the altar. And if you got to get that horn, you're free. That's a saving spot. I'm not going to do and to deal with it in depth, but in the house of his servant David, not Levi, not Aaron. But the king, David, the son of David. The king becomes, and for me that was the wonder of wonders, thinking about it this day and yesterday, that he loved his father so much to suffer, to redeem his people, when he cried out at the cross, being cursed by the law, it is finished. Congregation, the gospel is this. He who had all the glory in heaven became man. And from the beginning of his manhood, he was suffering. No room. God said, no room, my son. What do you say, Pastor? Said God, yes. God could have provided the nicest hotel. Don't you think of? But he says, in the stable. Suffer. The King of Glory is born as the Lamb of God to suffer, to be humbled. The arms of Mary laid in the manger. No room in the world. Rejected. You know, when I think about all these things, do you see the wise men coming? 1,000 kilometers probably, even more, traveling. Where were they looking for? The King of the Jews. And when they saw him in the manger, they said, it can be. No. They believed a suffering servant and worshipped him. I think that's a wonder, isn't it? If you travel for 1,500 kilometers, all by, I don't know how they got there, from Ethiopia probably. And he said he has to be born in Bethlehem, and you have to stop at a manger and see a little child swaddling clothes, and you believe it's the King of God. That's a wonder to believe. And they believed him and worshipped him. God's people get to know him as the King at the cross, a suffering servant who finished and paid the penalty to set him free, translate him from the prince of darkness to the light of the kingdom of glory and congregation. But that's only in the way of the forgiveness of sins. That's redemption. We are, by nature, we are slaves, and we are at the stake. We are at the stake. No, I don't believe so, Pat. Yeah, that's up to you. We did sell ourselves to Satan and his authority. But Christ has come to set his people free. Election given him by the Father, bringing them under the word, breaking their hearts, accepting their judgment, set them free by his sacrifice, set them free from the power of darkness, translate them to the kingdom of the Son of God, the suffering servant, the house of David. In congregation, I think that's the whole Old Testament, that's the New Testament. David wrote Psalm 22, speaking about the Lord Jesus. Why hast thou forsaken me? But David knew it. He was forsaken in Christ, suffering with him who suffered for him. The King of Glory became the least, the chief of sinners, accounted, not by his own sin, He was made a curse for a cursed sinner. He was made bound. Therefore, it's nice form of the Lord's Supper, that we might be set free. He suffered in Gethsemane, that we only by his work, by his suffering work, would be set free. Therefore he said to Peter, sleep. Go sleep. I'm doing it myself alone. I don't need you. It's grace and grace alone. Oh, my dear congregation, may I ask you, is the way to Christ, to God, prepared by the remission of sin? Do you know what's remission of sin? God gave your sins to Jesus. That's remission of sins. People say, yeah, God forgave sins and he doesn't remember them anymore. No, he gave your sins to the Lord Jesus. And he took the righteousness of Jesus. He made him a slave to set you free. He bound him, had to be bonded to set you free at liberty. The horn of salvation in the house of David. And now the question is this. Has the preaching had that effect for you. It's not only John the Baptist, but since Abram, Old Testament, prophets. The big question is, are your sins forgiven you? We can easily say it probably because we've heard it so many times. But may I ask you, do you know where your sins were gone? That's remission. Then you know that God gave your sins to Jesus, the Lord Jesus. And you got his righteousness. And what's the fruit of it? Tell me. Peace with God. Liberty. Deliverance from the bondage of sin to the liberty of the children of God. But he had to suffer. All by himself. No one was with him. But he loved his father and his people so much that he denied himself and his glory to the depth of darkness, that you might be in a light everlasting, the light of the eternal God. And God has promised it already in the Old Testament. In Genesis 22, an oath to Abram. But that oath to Abram was given after something happened. What happened? We know it all. The Lord says, Abram, I want your son to be sacrificed as a burnt offering. That's what you deserve. Your son to be burned as a burnt offering. Abram said, let's sleep a bit. God might change his mind. He doesn't change his mind. He stood up early, took fire, wood, and his son, and went to Moriah. What's Moriah? That's Jerusalem today. That's the black rock under the dome. And he went there 3 days. You know what he did? When his son asked, Father, where is the lamb? He prophesied of Jesus. For the firstborn of the Father is king. Listen, now it's difficult, but try to remember. The firstborn of the Father is king. The firstborn of God the Father is king. The firstborn of Abram was king. The ruler of his house. And the firstborn had to be killed. And Abram went there. Took his knife. And killed him, says the Lord. Spiritually. And do you know who intervened? The Lord Jesus. He says, no, Abram. Not you, but me. And Abram had prophesied it already. He said, God will provide for himself a lamb for sacrifice. My son, you can pay. You can pay, son. You can give the ransom for your brethren. We need a clean lamb, the Lamb of God. John the Baptist in John, the Gospel of John, points to him. See the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Oh, wondrous grace. God will provide himself. Oh, congregation, do you know what I believe? That my whole salvation is an interaction between the Father and the Son. God was in Christ, redeeming or saving his people. Reconciling his people with himself. We always think we are a part of it. We are not. It's a gift to us. By the suffering servant. My substitute. And we always think we are a part of it. Not the scrambling of a nail. Not the sigh of your breath. Sovereign grace by faith alone in the Lord Jesus. We always think we have to sacrifice, and I said it last week, not the scrap of your nail. It's between God the Father and God the Son. For the Lord will provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice. No Isaac, no Abram, no Spangford, no sinner. Not you. Do you know what my work and my task is? Pointing the Lutherans, Granach, that is a painter or made drawings. And he made the drawing of John the Baptist. And the drawing had such a very long finger. John the Baptist had a long, long, long finger in the drawing. And that long finger was pointing to a lamb. A long finger. You can find it in all kinds of pictures of the Reformation. Granach made a picture of John the Baptist with a long finger. See the lamb. My congregation, traveleth with me to eternity. See the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. See the Lamb of God. See the Lamb of God. Don't look to yourself. Look to him who is raised as the brazen serpent. Trusting his word. The Lamb of God. The only sacrifice that can please the Father. He provided himself in the house of David. The king became servant. The glory was humbled to the lowest spot, to hell. That those who are destined for hell, his people, will be set and pointed and direct it to the glory of heaven. Let's sing 368, 2 and 3. he had an oath to Abram that that seed would be fruitful as the sand of the sea and the stars in heaven. First sand or sea and stars in heaven. Huh? First sea, sand, and then a star in heaven. That's glorious, isn't it? That he would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, Satan, sin, devil, demons, yourself, might serve him without fear. His kingdom is a kingdom where God's people serve their king without fear. How then? In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. If you're holy and righteous, you don't need to fear. If you're not holy nor righteous, you need to fear. But God's people serve the Lord without fear. We can say peace, liberty. God has taken away the fear. They have feared, like the shepherds, to death. But the gospel is preached and they believed. And they were announcers of Christ, the suffering servant, to take away sins of the world. God's people have feared to death, for they have sinned, guilty, subject to the wrath of God. But listen to what it says here, by the remission of sins, in holiness. How can I be holy? And righteous. How can I be righteous before God? That says here, before him, not for man. You can have, like Saul of Tarsus had, a blameless life for man, but not for God. So you can only be fearless if you're holy and righteous before God. And not one day, but all the days of your life. How do I get holy and righteous before God? By words, by promises, not a little bit, no dear. By desires, no, dear. Holy and righteous before God. Now I listen. Now you listen to the word, sinner. Listen. Forget never. For he is made unto us of God the Father righteousness, sanctification, and total redemption. The suffering servant. Therefore, if Christ is holy, that Holy One, Luther said, if you never have seen your birth as the Holy One in Christ, you have never met Christ at the crib. You're wholly born in him. Shh, shh, don't believe that. That's what you say. Then you don't know the truth at all. In holiness before God. Holiness before God. A saint. Never sinned more than any Eve. You're boasting, Pastor, not in myself. But I'm boasting in my God in Christ. who made me unholy holy. In him was made unclean and unholy, blasphemed at the cross, my suffering servant. In holiness. And my dear congregation, as long as you want to point and do something to it, you won't have it. Therefore, we need to be cut out. I always preach it, and you say, oh, there he starts again, there he starts again. Oh, there he starts again. He is a full savior of your, says the catechism, or nothing. He is your all, or a nothing to you. And righteousness, that's not holy, clean, like we were created in paradise, but also righteous. Righteous is having never sinned. Now, Pastor, you better preach not anymore here, okay? You know what you need to do? Take the Bible, take out this faith, and throw it in the dunghill. This is truth. The Lord, our righteousness. A divine righteousness without the law, having the testimony, says Paul, of the law and the prophets. And my dear congregation, you struggle. I know many are here struggling. There are struggling. Oh, I'm not saying many, but there are struggling here. They want to be better. To be holy, you must become unholy. To be righteous, you must become the chief of sinners. Saved by a suffering king, a suffering servant. To be made sin that I might be righteous in him. To be made a curse that I might be blessed in the seed of Abraham. King of kings, laying down his glory, being thrown away on the dunghill of this world. Righteous and holy. But Pastor, I don't believe it, that's up to you. It's a gift to believe it. I can tell you, it's a gift. And if you don't believe it, you're still probably in the works. You want to be ready for God. And I tell you this, when you're saved, you're not ready anymore. It's over with you. It's a perfect holiness and a perfect righteousness, or it's nothing. It's his holiness and his righteousness, or it's nothing. And you only can receive it by a true saving faith, gift of God to your soul. And then you live without fear. No, I'm not living without fear, Pastor. Stop it preaching. No, take out this page out of the Bible. Take out this page. All the days of your life. That's only mentioned here for faith's sake, tempted and tried. But in Christ, without fear. The devil tries to get me, but he can't. I'm translated into the kingdom of glory, the kingdom of peace. And congregation, this is a statement of faith. This is a confession of faith. It is what God gives his people, to live without fear. You're under the grace or in the law. One or both. No, not one of both, one of the both, the two. You're the grace or in the law. You know, I read this text first. I see the opposition in your eyes. Do you know what we want? A heavy preaching that it's not reachable. Then we have an excuse for sin. Do you know what we want? We want to be slaves. A slavery people. I see sometimes the reformed people walking. In my first congregation, Le Brook, there was a painter, and he painted the church-going people. They were. I'm not saying you're an afflicted, you are. I'm not saying there are no darkest days. But in Christ, not. And he sustains you in the most dark days with the light of his presence, suddenly, and showing that he loves you with an eternal love. Otherwise, you would have gone. All the days of your life. That's not God's word, Pastor. It's God's word. In holiness and righteousness. If I'm holy and righteous, I have no fear anymore. And now I'm speaking to the children of God. There was a day that you feared to death. But when Christ was revealed to your soul of faith in him, God took away the fear and kindled you with his love and embraced you with peace as if you had never sinned nor done any evil. Restored in paradise, holy and righteous before God, with all congregation who have an ear always listening to the devil. You have an ear always listening to the devil. And our old nature is one lump of sin. But Paul says, I sin no more, but the sin that is in me. But I am not sinning anymore, but my evil nature that's in me. But that's not me anymore. I am the... Pastor, you preach in Springfield always Christ, and we don't like that. Oh, yeah. Okay. Go ahead. But throw away your Bible. Throw away your Bible. For the Holy Spirit says that his people are the suffering servant and the finished work in holiness and righteousness. Clean and righteous in the eyes before God, not before man. I've said sometimes that tell me a child of God which they don't like in this village. Probably he is a real child of God. For we have to suffer with him, to be rejected with him, to be hated in the world. If we suffer with him, we will enter his glory. I have to stop. May God bless his word. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank thee for thy word and that thou would apply it to these souls here. It seems to be unattainable. I know. Because they are in the law. And not resting in the surety, not prepared for the Lamb of God, confessing their sins, the impossibilities of their own works, and the condemnation of their hearts. But, O Lord, I pray that thou would set people free into the kingdom of the King, the King of the kingdom of grace, and the kingdom of glory to come, the seed of David, the King of the Jews. It is finished. Have mercy upon us, dear Lord. For Jesus' sake, I pray. Remember the Sunday school classes and give the children a heart to believe what they are and what thou art and who Christ is. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let's sing four. Yeah, I gave three, but I think three and four, Martha, only two. I'm short in time again. So three and four, Psalter 4. You may go home in peace, receiving the blessings of the living God, the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.